Good morning. It is great being with you this morning. It's even greater that I just got to sit back and worship. And the kids got a break from Fifth Sunday, and LCU came and shared their talents with us. And if you haven't seen, if you came in the other door and didn't see over by this door, they have a booth set up with some information. And if you have a high schooler, you know that might need a push in a good direction. We encourage you to grab some information out there and take it to them. Most of them aren't here today because they had prom last night. So be in prayer that they, yeah, you're laughing, but you know what I'm talking about. Nick and Kristen said they have 8 girls in their basement right now that are, comatose. there are kids everywhere that are, enjoying some sleep this morning from a safe, prom event from what I understand, and it all went off without too much of a hitch, so, we're glad for that. Are you guys just glad to be here? I'm telling you, I look forward to meeting with everybody every week. I really do. It's a good thing. It's a good time to see you. It allows me to be social and shake everybody's hands. And Tiana, one time, this was a couple years ago, we had to run to IGN and get a few things for dinner on a Saturday. And she always wanted to go whenever I went grocery shopping so she could pick up whatever food that she wanted. So she could talk Dad into it. She preferred Mom because Mom would give in more than I would, but she always knew she could get some Oreos or some kind of chocolate cake or something out of me. Hey, see, right there at IGA. And, there was one Saturday in particular we were leaving and she goes, Dad. I said, what? She goes, this is the first time we have ever gone to IGA and you didn't have to talk to somebody. I was like, oh, you're right. You're right. Because usually I run into somebody after growing up in this town for years, or the other day at Walgreens, come up and said, someone, the pharmacy lady said to me, wait, you're one of the guys from those informed videos, aren't you? And I said, well, which one am I? And she just looked at me and said, never mind. Just come out to church sometime and you know what I'm talking about. So we communicate wherever we go, don't we? And this is now our third week of our sermon series on Families and Marriage 101. The first week, Pastor David hit us with family renovations. And then last week, we talked about one of the foundations of family and marriage, and that was commitment. Commitment. Well, this week, we've been talking about it. You've seen it on a form, but we are going to talk about the other major part of that foundation that we need to have with our families and marriages, and that's communication. Communication. Now, I'm going to show you what I would consider, well, it's probably a great example of communication because it's one of the outtakes from Pastor David and I that wasn't on the video this week that I thought would be a good example of communication. So let's take a look at that and we'll see what you guys think.
Oh, we sure do. Just here in the church alone.
Absolutely.
You want to go right into thanking the people, don't you? I don't know, that's good. I didn't realize what you were trying to, where you were going. Now I do. I got it. It's good.
I'll give thanks.
Yeah, we should. And we should do that.
Very generous.
Yeah. No, I see where you're going now. I didn't see where you're going before. No,
that's all good. You really haven't been talking about it before.
I see where you're going. It will work if I go with it.
You pick up what I'm laying down.
Okay, I will today at some point. This is our 18th edition of Inform today.
So, that's how a lot of our Informs go. We can count on one hand the number of times we got up there and did it in one take. And we get together on Monday morning. We go, what are we going to work through? What are we going to talk about? We list the things that we need to bring up and talk about. But we never discuss how we're going to bring them up or how we're going to work it out. We just get in front of the camera and you see what happens. We should really communicate more on that. It would probably go a little smoother, but wouldn't be as much fun. But communication is key in every relationship you have. It is key. Let me start by saying this sermon is for everyone. Whether you have a family, you have a spouse, don't have a spouse, if you're a preteen or teen, or you're 70, 80, 90 years old, this sermon has something for you. Communication. It is defined by Webster's as a process by which information is exchanged between individuals through a common system of symbols, signs, or behavior. Or simply put, it's a process of transferring information between people. We have to give information to one another, no matter what that information is. And as I started putting this sermon together, I found that there were all kinds of information out there about communication. So let me list out a few of the tidbits of information I have learned over the last couple weeks. Let me enlighten you, if you will, with the vast amount of information I have picked up. Are you ready? I mean, this is good stuff. I mean, you should take notes and take it to your coworkers. This is good stuff here. You ready? First, there are many forms and types of communication. Of course, we have verbal, nonverbal, written. Inside those three, we have speaking, yelling, texting, phone calls, emails, instant messaging, social media, sign language, letters, notes, facial expressions, voicemails, innuendos, FaceTime, just to name a few. We also have listening communication. We have communication in happy times. We have communication in sad times. There's communication during high stress and or emotional situations. We have family communication, work communication, teen communication, toddler communication, parent communication. And those are just the types and forms of communication. So let's move on to the styles of communication. We have aggressive, we have passive aggressive, we have assertive, submissive, manipulative, and once again, passive. I don't know why passive was twice, but it is. Next, we move on to the seven C's of effective communication. We have completeness, concreteness, courtesy, correctness, clarity, consideration, conciseness, and creativity. Now we will look at the keys to effective communication, and this depends on the situation that these apply. And these are just going to name a few, because the experts have a list more than we have time to go through today. But here are some of the key ones that I enjoyed from the list. Your nonverbals should match your message. You need to eliminate barriers. You need to eliminate weakening words. Don't be vague. Check for understanding. Be a listener. Be real. Be positive. Use shorter sentences. Be yourself. Speak with intent. Say it with a smile. But that's not all. We need to also know that there's different types of miscommunication. Take a look at this comic strip up here. The old gentleman saying, "In the moonlight, your teeth look just like pearls." And his wife responds, "Who's Pearl, and what are you doing in the moonlight with her?" Miscommunication. And the different types of those are misunderstandings, non-understanding, and misinterpretation. Now we need to look at some of the bad communication habits. They are yelling, multitasking, constantly interrupting, equating your experiences, silent treatment, use always or never in your message, blame, swearing or name-calling, keeping secrets, using ultimatums or threats, hurting or harming, floundering, or simply avoiding eye contact. And then, that's not all. I see, I got more for you. Though we have groups of people, as Christians that we communicate throughout our lives. We have communication with God. We have communication with our spouse. We have communication with kids. We have communication with the rest of our family. We have communication with friends. We have communication with enemies. And we have communication with the world, which encompasses things like coworkers, neighbors, the waitress at the restaurant, the concierge at the hotel, or just people we bump into, etc. So now, I've thrown all that out at you, and I know you all took copious notes, and I bet you're thinking, there's no way Pastor Jeff is getting through this topic in one sermon. First off, it would take more extra sweet tea. But you would be right if we had to go through all of that junk to sift through it all. Fortunately, we serve an awesome, amazing, and incredible God, amen, who makes communication much simpler for us, much easier for us to understand. But first, before we can become effective communicators in our homes, we have to have consistent communication with God. The Bible tells us in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, never stop praying. Faith is at the heart of Christian lives, and that places it in the heart of Christian marriages and families too. Prayer aligns us with God and reminds us of His love, care, compassion, and faithfulness for us and ours to Him. Prayer means taking problems before God too and letting Him know what is truly in our hearts. If you have concerns about communication in your marriage, in your family, in your friendships, give them to God in prayer and let Him know your worries. After all, He already knows your heart. Then the still small voice inside you will prompt you in how to communicate with your spouse, with your children, with your mother, with your brother, with your sister, in a healthier way. Praying together is a beautiful way to strengthen a marriage, strengthen a family. Sit together in prayer and ask for strength and insight to communicate well with one another. We have to be in constant communication with God. That has to be there before anything else. We can be great talkers. We can be great listeners. But if we don't have that, our communication will fail somewhere along the way. But once we have that communication with God as the cornerstone of communication in your family relationships, we don't need all those tips and all that list that I just went through. With God, you don't need the ABCs of communication. You don't need the 7 C's or the top 10 or the top 5 communication keys. You don't need PDQ or 1, 2, 3. All you need is LTC. Yep, you heard me right. I didn't have a dyslexic moment, mess those letters up. I am not talking about TLC, although that could help. I am talking about LTC. God has given us these 3 things we need to know about having effective communication with all people. We just need to go to the source and open the Word of God. So let's see what God says, how He simplifies it for us. We're going to go to James 1:19. James 1:19. You can go to your pew Bibles in front of you or use your YouVersion. Get to the technology. Or you can just read it up there. James 1:19 says, "Understand this, my dear brothers and sisters. You must all be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry." Let's say that together. Understand this, my dear brothers and sisters. You must all be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. Well, that's God's mic drop moment this morning. Because that's it. Look at the Amplified version real quick of this. Understand this, my beloved brothers and sisters. Let everyone be quick to hear, be careful, thoughtful listener, slow to speak, a speaker of carefully chosen words, and slow to anger, patient, reflective, forgiving. God lays it out. Now, when I say He makes it simpler, He makes it simpler for us to understand. But as humans, it doesn't make it easy for us. So He lays it out as LTC. LTC. L, be quick to listen. T, be slow to talk. C, be calm. Remain calm. Control the anger. So L, we must be quick to listen. Listening is an important part of communication, and from the Scripture we see its importance, as James mentions it first. But what does God mean by listen? Does He mean let it go in one ear and out the other? Anybody ever done that? Does He mean keeping eye contact with an individual, but instead thinking about what you're going to say to them? Actually, no, means none of those things. God warned us about these things in His Word. In Proverbs 18:13, He says, "Spouting off before listening to the facts is both shameful and foolish." God wants to give us, wants us to give someone our undivided and focused attention. Even ask questions for clarification. We need to make sure we are hearing exactly what is being said. Let me give you some quick statistics that just go to show that, well, most of us already knew, maybe all of us already knew, that God was right. Not really listening is one of the top reasons that marriages fail. Experts across the board state that fact. The amount of time we spend listening, truly listening, 45% of the time. Percentage of what we know about what we have, the percentage of what we know that we have learned because we actually listened, 85%. So, Mr. and Mrs. Tilford, sorry. I was only listening 45% of the time, but rest assured, 85% of my knowledge with history and chemistry is because it's what you said. Because I was not a good reader, so it wasn't from what I read. Amount of time that we were distracted, preoccupied, or forgetful when listening, 75% preoccupied or distracted. How much we recall immediately after we listen to someone talk, 50%. Except for when Pastor David and Pastor Jeff are speaking, we know that number is higher. See? It's just because it's how we listen. It's how we've been trained to listen. We get the old phone out, right? Yeah, I'm listening. We're multitask. We train to teach. We need people to multitask in the business. So then we take that out to every aspect of our world. And God tells us when it comes to communication, you cannot do that with listening. There should be no multitasking. There should be focus, attentive listening. By truly listening in the way God asks us to, we are taking the focus off what we want to say, instead putting the focus on what the other person is saying, the tone of their voice, what words they are actually using, and the message they are truly conveying. I don't believe it's a coincidence that listening is the first thing listed in this verse, as I already mentioned. His first command in a conversation, in a communication situation, is to silence the tongue. Jump on listening and then speak. Listening is the key for effective communication to occur. How many of you in every communication situation listen first? Oh, only a couple wives hit their husbands, so it's good. Yeah, it is tough. It is tough for us as humans. And guess what? It's tough for parents to sit back and really listen to their teenager as they share what they're going through. It's hard for husbands who see a wife upset by something that happened at work not to try to just jump in and fix it instead of listening for what she wants and needs. It's no different for members of the family of God when we feel we've been wronged or we struggle and we struggle to really listen to see what the ones who wronged us are truly saying. Communication, listening starts it all. There are six tips, which I actually do believe will help us become a better listener, the type of listener that God wants us to be. One, think about what's worked for you in the past. As you were communicating in the past and someone was listening to you, what worked? Was it clarifying statements? Was it the eye contact? Use those things when you're having a communication with someone. Number two, don't sit there and think about what you're going to say as you listen. Don't. Focus on what the person in front of you is saying to you. Three, you're not there to judge. You're not there to judge. Anybody ever sit there in a conversation and start thinking about, yeah. It happens, but try not to judge because that's not what you're there for. Step out of your shoes into theirs. Think about where they are coming from. Number five, it's all about timing. Wives, a minute 30 left to go in the Super Bowl tie game is not the time to bring up who's taking the kids to school tomorrow morning. Husbands, your wife just got done cleaning the house and wants to sit down for 5 minutes. Now is not the time to discuss something you really want to discuss, whatever it be, an upcoming family vacation. You see, timing is everything. If you want to tell Pastor David how great of a job he did in a sermon, the best time to do it is not when 30 other people are around him asking him questions. When you want to talk to me about youth group, anytime's good. Anytime. Anytime's good. No, timing is everything. And I just tease Pastor David. We love conversation. We love getting into it. Come to us anytime. I was just joking. But we do have to think about timing in our everyday communications with our wives, with our husbands, with our friends, with our kids. Oh, my gosh. Your student just gets done taking the ACT for the day, comes home. That's not the time to bring up homework. Nope. They just get, you're getting ready to leave in the morning the day after prom. It's not the time to bring up cleaning their room. Right? Timing is everything. And finally, number six, get rid of all distractions. Put the phone down. Turn off the television. Put the paper away. Whatever it is, get rid of the distraction and focus on the person who wants to have a conversation with you, wants to communicate with you. We are humans and we don't always behave the way God would like us to be. But if we want to be effective communicators and build families and marriages that Satan can't enter and tear apart, we must first become expert, active, and focused listeners. Now, next in God's plan for effective communication is the T. Talk, but be slow and methodical about it, but only after listening. Now, that doesn't mean you talk like this. He's talking about controlling yourself, controlling what you say. Be careful what you say. Look at some other scriptures in God's Word about this. Proverbs 17, verses 27 and 28, and I'm reading from the NLT. It says, "A truly wise person uses few words. A person with understanding is even-tempered. Even fools are thought wise when they keep silent. With their mouths shut, they seem intelligent." Proverbs 18:2 says, "Fools have no interest in understanding. They only want to air their own opinions." I won't go into that. Ephesians 4:29. "Don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful, so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them." I don't think any of us want to be fools. I don't think any of us want to do the wrong thing. But we need to listen and keep our words under control. Keep our words to a few. Open our ears. But during the conversation, when you do talk, be respectful and be honest. And be honest. The four top reasons for poor communication in families and marriages. Number one, competing with each other. This is about making it about the individual and not the relationship. I got to get my words in. I got to say what I want to say. I hear her, but she needs to hear what I got to say. Or I hear him, but my point is more important. Stop competing with each other. Being critical. Criticism. Does criticism ever truly work in a conversation? Most of the time, I've never found it to work. It really ends up shutting the other person off. Remember what I just said in Ephesians 4:29. Don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful. Number three, yelling or stonewalling. For example, parents, when you're talking to your children and they have disappointed you or they've made what you consider to be a bad choice. And I know, we know best. Come on, we know best. That's the fact of the matter. But yelling or stonewalling is not going to help that situation or that open communication. And number four, the number four reason for poor communication in families and marriages is three things, but they're all in one. Lying, keeping secrets, or embellishing. Lying, keeping secrets, or embellishing. We need to be honest. We don't need to be hiding things from our families and our kids. And kids, we don't need embellishments. Just tell us what really happened. Parents, yes, when I was 15 and the snow was coming down and I had to walk both ways uphill from school. Obviously, that's a joke, but we do that in other conversations, don't we? We embellish to try to make a point. And I'm going to tell you, based on some of my conversations with the preteens and teenagers, they're thinking, oh, my father and my mother are so full of it right now. Or they're on their phone looking it up on Google. No, Dad, it wasn't snowing back in 1976. Not on that day. So, I mean, it doesn't help the communication. We need to be honest. We need to not be critical. We don't need to be yelling. And we don't need to compete with each other for airtime. It's not necessary. All four of those could be fixed if people just took James 1:19 into consideration. If people would listen first and speak in a controlled manner, those four would disappear. Now, the final part of God's plan for effective communication is, of course, the letter C. Be calm. Once again, James tells us to be slow to get angry or to keep our anger under control. We can have a passion. We may even have a good reason to be upset. But how we respond and how we show that displeasure, that anger, that hurt is key. If we're going to effectively communicate and be able to listen and speak wisely, we'll have to keep our wits about us and be calm. There's a few more words of scripture on this. Imagine that. God, he just takes care of everything, doesn't he? He just puts it right out there for us. Proverbs 14:29. People with understanding control their anger. A hot temper shows great foolishness. Ephesians 4:26. And don't sin by letting anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you are still angry. Ephesians 6:4. Fathers, do not provide your children Or do not provoke your children, rather, to anger by the way you treat them. Rather, bring them up with discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord. There's a few things we need to do to control our anger, to let God come through in our communication. One, rule your spirit. Try not to let things get to you. Don't let your emotion override your reason. If you begin to feel it happen, if it begins to happen to you, stop and admit that you're becoming emotional. Or Maybe you're too emotional at that time. Stop the whole conversation and say, can we continue this in a few minutes or at a later time? And then deal with those emotions, whether it be fear, sad, anger, mad, frustration, whatever it is, deal with those before continuing the conversation. So we got to rule our spirit. We also have to control our anger. When you respond with anger, you have shifted from a conversation to aggression. Your spouse, your child, your brother, your aunt, whoever, etc., will change his or way of communicating with you. He or she will shut down. He or she might become timid, or he and she might even become political or angry. He or she may become passive and then aggressive. It could escalate the conversation into a rock fight where you're just throwing comments back and forth at each other, getting nothing accomplished. Digs and side comments and remarks that are not necessary. When you give in to anger once, it's easier and easier to give in to anger again and again in our communication, especially with someone you are familiar with. The third thing we need to do is watch our body language. Everybody here believe you can say a lot without saying anything? Don't give your spouse, your child, your brother, your sisters in Christ, whoever, the wrong idea. Don't set the wrong tone during communication by letting your body language show anger. You know this one? Right? Or, you know, this one? Right? This, I have two really bad at, and I'm trying to work on. And the first one is, oh my gosh, rubbing the old head, right? And the other one, which in my house I am infamous for, and my wife and daughter in particular, because my son's not quite old enough yet, catch me on it all the time. It's the rolling of the eyes, right? Oh, here we go again. Oh, boy, right? Oh, Tiana just needs money, I'm sure. I mean, you know, things like that. Oh, FaceTime. She either wants money or she wants a picture of the dog. I mean, well, that, the rolling of the eyes, that's one God and I are working on. But body language can say so much without ever having to say a word. Now, if you want to be calm, just remember this during any conversation or any communication. Watch your pride, watch your ego, and give the situation to God. Let God be in control of that situation. We must remember, why is this so important? Why is it so important that we learn to communicate properly, to be effective communicators? And this quote just kept hitting me again and again, and I read it in several places. A family lacking healthy communication, no matter what type of family it is like a ship without a rudder. It'll flounder even in calm waters and will become dangerously out of control in a storm. Proper communication is the key. We must remember that LTC, when one of our children gives us disappointing news or makes a life-changing decision we don't agree with, we got to keep LTC in our mind when we struggle to agree with our spouses. LTC must be in our forefront when we're having everyday conversations in our homes, our neighborhoods, our churches, our schools, and in our workplaces. Effective communication in our family and marriages is all about the LTC. We must be quick to listen, first and foremost. Control our talk and control our anger. And remember, above all that, keep your communication with God open. If you're mad at Him, tell Him. If you're frustrated, tell Him. He knows your heart anyway. He's watching every move you make anyway. What are you going to hide from the man? How many at times thought you could never get something past your parents? And they always seem to know about it. And you're telling me God's not going to know about everything we do? Be honest with Him. Make that the cornerstone of everything and practice LTC. In a few moments, we're going to have an invitation time. And this is a time for anyone who would like someone to pray for you or to come forward. And we'll have someone. We'll get someone to pray with you. Or if you're ready to say, Jesus, I want to follow You. I want to make communication with You a priority in my life. I want to be a communicator for God. If you're ready for that today, come forward. Let's celebrate together as a family of God. That's why we're here. That's why we get together, to lift each other up, to welcome new members, and to take it to the world through effective communication. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you now in prayer to say thank you first and foremost for being here today, for allowing us to be here today, for allowing us to get together in this building. Secondly, we ask you to put your words of James 1:19 on our hearts, to learn to be quick to listen, to be controlled when we talk, and then to control our angle so that we can communicate in a way that not only shines and lifts you up, but effectively gets whatever message you have in that situation across. We need it in our homes. We need it in our church. We need it in our schools. We just need to be communicators for you. And finally, we ask that you remind us daily that we keep our hearts and our minds in prayer with you, that we never forget you're the cornerstone of it all. And if the communication's not happening with you, it's going to falter. It's going to fail in our homes and in our relationships. We thank you for the love. We thank you for the grace. We thank you for the opportunity to come to you in prayer every day. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.